This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant physician entrepreneur. We're joined today by Dr. Art Papir. And Dr. Papir is a dermatologist by background, and then a long time ago, he developed a company called Visual DX. He's going to talk to us about what he did, how he developed it, why he did so, and sort of where they're most focused this year. Dr. Papir, can you take a moment, introduce yourself, tell us a bit about yourself and your background, and also about Visual DX?
Great, Scott. Thanks for having me. So I'm Art Papir. I'm a dermatologist whose career has been focused on information technology. I'm one of the founders of Visual DX, which is a professional decision support and patient engagement company that has been engaged in digital health for greater than 20 years. And so we've been able to create tools that have meaningful impact on people's lives, as well as having great return on investment for all our enterprise customers. So what we do is we license an EHR integrated and mobile solution for improving decisions in diagnosis, testing, and treatment. And we create and license these information tools also to people. So our customers range from individual professional subscribers to large hospital systems.
And talk for a moment, Dr. Papir, how did you get started with this? How did this become a thing? Because it's amazing what you've built and developed, but how did you get started with this to begin with?
Well, you know, years ago, I met the founder of the problem-oriented medical record in the soap note format, Dr. Larry Weed. Most doctors today don't realize that that format and the problem lists and soap notes were actually created. Dr. Weed created this over 50 years ago. I worked with him, and then I ended up in Rochester, New York, when this company that our young students and residents don't remember called Kodak was starting to sell digital cameras and scan film to digital. And we basically combined some of Dr. Weed's brilliant ideas with this idea of using imagery and graphics to improve decisions.
Got it. And tell us a little bit about your core customers and how you look at sort of the market for what you do, and also why someone needs what you do.
Yeah, so, you know, as you know, there's a tremendous shortage now of professionals, and especially specialists, right? And related to that, we have a burnout problem, right? So what we need in healthcare is better information, because the research shows that cognitive mistakes in diagnosis, testing decisions, like do I order the right CT or an ultrasound, or what's the treatment? These decisions that happen extemporaneously in the clinic leads to a lot of waste in healthcare. And so if we can improve decisions, we can start to drive down costs and improve the quality, right? So, you know, there are a lot of factors going into this kind of reduction in trust that we're seeing in doctors and the healthcare system right now. You know, on one side, we have the internet, which often has poor information, and we have this idea of, you know, disinformation now on the internet. On the one hand, a patient might come to the visit with that poor information, which will then waste time. And on the flip side, the patient might come with good information, but the physician doesn't have the time or presence to pay attention to that good information. So we're really, Scott, we're living through this historic transition from a memory-based training and delivery system to a new age of augmented intelligence. So when I went to medical school, there were no smartphones, there were no computers. You just memorize everything, but there's too much to memorize. So when a patient has a problem that's outside the knowledge of their professional, the choice is either to refer the patient to a specialist, whether it's telemedicine or a physical referral, or that primary care doctor or ER doctor has to gain the knowledge and skills to handle the problem themselves. So this is more than a trend. It really is a tectonic shift in the way we need to think about care delivery. It really translates to giving generalists, such as a primary care emergency professional, tools to practice more accurately and in a way that the patient will feel their professional is practicing precision medicine.
Thank you. And let me ask you this question. You're a brilliant person with an incredibly fascinating, well-rounded education. I mean, Wesleyan, Columbia, the beauty of Vermont and Rochester. But I'm going to ask you the toughest question of the day. And you don't have to answer this if this is uncomfortable to you, Dr. Prepare. Let me know if you're ready.
Go ahead. I'm ready. Shoot.
Friends of Dog Mountain, Wesleyan, Columbia, Vermont, Rochester, I want you to tell us about Dog Mountain.
Oh, wonderful. So I went to medical school in Vermont. I love Vermont. And one of my dear friends in Vermont was on the board of directors of Dog Mountain. He said, Art, you got to join the board and learn about Dog Mountain. And I have a background in art. And turned out this wonderful folk artist in Vermont, Stephen Hunick, who was very well known in Vermont with these prints around dogs, dedicated his folk art to dogs. He took his own life 13 years ago or so and left his print studio, his artwork, and 130 acres of a beautiful Vermont farm to a nonprofit called Friends of Dog Mountain. So my dear friend Mike Roos, Dr. Mike Roos, put the bite on me to join this board because I am a dog lover myself. And it's become one of my hobbies and passions to think about how do we let people know about Dog Mountain. And funny story is I was at a medical meeting and talking to a doctor that happened to have a small dog in his arms at a cocktail reception. This meeting was in California. And I said, do you know what Dog Mountain is? And he pulls out his smartphone and shows me they took a trip from Seattle to Vermont to visit the dog chapel. So it's some people know about Dog Mountain. Hopefully you now know about it, Scott.
No, simply amazing. And one other question. Now, people that have not spent a lot of time in Vermont might not realize what a stunningly beautiful state Vermont is. Can you give us a moment on the beauty of Vermont?
All right. So Vermont, if you're a skier and a cross-country skier, unfortunately, climate change is kind of ruining the skiing, though they've had two huge snowstorms in the last 2 weeks. So you have beautiful winters. You have maple syrup. You have lakes and rivers for fishing or sailing. Great biking and friendly people. So, I could be the Chamber of Commerce for Vermont. But let me just focus us back to medicine for a second, because I do want to say that, we're doing some incredible work in underserved communities. So one of the things I'm most proud of is I wrote a paper 20 years ago in the dermatology literature called Disparities in Dermatologic Resources. And it was a paper about how biased the imagery is showing disease only in white skin in our literature. And we became focused on this 20 years ago, and now we're just seeing so much interest in the students, the residents, and the faculty to make sure that when we diagnose patients that we're equitable, that we can recognize these skin conditions in people of color that we can recognize in white skin. So that's something I really wanted to mention to your audience, because I know that many of the hospital systems are thinking about these issues, but one of the really critical issues that people have missed in this equity discussion is kind of the obvious one, that disease looks differently in brown skin. Red on white is red, but red on brown is not red. And so we're having tremendous impact in that area and doing a lot of work with health systems around that now.
Well, thank you. And tell us a little bit about what's your most focused and excited about this year, Dr. Prepare? What are you most, and I apologize for the segue. I find Vermont and Dog Mountain stunning, stunning things. Tell us about what you're most excited and focused on this year.
Well, first of all, I could talk about Dog Mountain and Vermont for another 2 hours, but yeah, you probably don't want me to regale you with that. But in terms of what I'm really focused on is the workflow integration of our technology. So we use something called HL7 Fire, Smart on Fire, to integrate into Epic, Cerner, and other EHRs, which allows our customers to maximize the benefit of Visual DX. So, you're aware that you got to be in the workflow. You can't be all these separate tools. So we're starting to see many of our customers start to integrate into Epic. The other thing I'm really excited about is the research we're doing with large language models. So as you know, AI is dependent on training on great data. It's totally a situation of garbage in, garbage out when you're talking about AI. There's tremendous possibilities with AI and also tremendous hype. So we build the world's best professional medical image collection, as well as a knowledge base derived from the medical literature. So we can take this great data and use large language models to access this great data and make decision support even more user-friendly. So that's kind of what we're really excited about right now is EHR integration, workflow integration, and AI, machine learning, large language models.
Thank you. And take a second on advice that you would give to other founders. Any thoughts for somebody that wants to grow or develop, found a business? Any thoughts along those lines?
Well, let me qualify that to say this is a healthcare digital health advice business. I'm not giving you advice for how to, you know, make better golf balls, right? But if you're working in digital health and healthcare, you got to be patient. Change is not measured in weeks or months in healthcare. So you got to be patient. Number two, I would say hire great people that are smarter than you. And three, if you make it your mission to improve people's lives, you will retain great people on your team, which is key to your success. Because if you don't have great people on your team, you're not going to succeed.
Thank you very, very much. Fantastic. Dr. Papir, what a pleasure to visit with you. Where can people learn more about Visual DX?
Yeah, so of course, our website, which is visualdx.com. And there's a wealth of information there. There are YouTube videos. And also, we do have a app for patients called AYSA, A-Y-S-A, that healthcare systems can license that technology and put it inside their patient-facing tools because we have APIs. And so that app is kind of a way for potential hospital systems to see what we do to educate people in skin disorders. And, you know, there's this huge shortage right now of dermatologists and other specialists, but particularly in our specialty of dermatology, at academic centers in big cities, they're talking about 6 to 12 month waits to get in to see a dermatologist. So we are focused on two things in this area. One is to deliver information to people in their homes or on their smartphones so that they understand and are educated about the skin, and they might feel like they could wait a few months for that appointment, or they might appropriately tell that appointment desk that they really need to be seen. So we need to educate the patients. And then the other thing is we have these tools for the non-dermatologists to take that pressure off the hospital system so that the family docs and the generalists can take care of those easy cases. So that's the story, Scott. I really appreciate you having me on the podcast.
No, it's a pleasure. You talk about the shortage of specialists, particularly in dermatology and other specialties. This is something that doesn't get nearly enough attention because so much time is spent on primary care shortages. Like a place in Minnesota where we interview a dermatologist who leads part of a system, one dermatologist for 500,000 people in a place where skin cancer is accelerating because of, it just is what it is, but fascinating. Thank you so much, Dr. Papir, for providing more insight into these issues and what you've done at Visual DX. It's simply amazing. What a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thanks again.